KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right, we're back.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's been a few weeks here and there. We were doing the Lord's work. We were training trainees to become DJs. Hopefully they passed.
Yes.
I emailed them, John and Omar, if you're listening.
Let us know.
Let us know. Oh, you know what? For the people who have never heard the show before, hey, I'm Joe.
That's Joe.
Yes, and that other sultry voice is...
Hello. This is Caleb over here.
You could be hello.
Hello. Hello, my name is. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You could do a whole who's on first and second and then lose every single listener.
No, we could.
Sure, we could.
See, then let me finish. You know,
okay.
It would lose all of our listeners, so we're not going to do that. That other, let's see.
Nearly sultry voice.
Okay, nearly sultry. We'll go with that. Is
Jason. Yes. Just Jason.
Just Jason.
Yeah.
Used to be super, but now he's grown up.
Right. I thought it was just a bit much, you know.
That's true. You don't want to overpower the listeners.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to oversell your own name and then have people be like, he was moderately super today.
That's true.
So I want all of you listeners out there to decide for yourselves whether I'm super or not by the end of the episode. Ooh. I don't want to force it on you, you know. That's not cool.
That's true. It's sort of like getting the audience to participate.
Right.
And speaking of that, Caleb.
If you would like to participate, and we like it when you do, you can find us on Facebook. You do a search for two words, Robots Attack, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me, all one word. And if you like to use ye olde email, you can find us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you're just like, wait, too many dots and slashes and swoops, just call them robotsattack.me. Just remember that one, robotsattack.me.
Nice and simple.
Nice and simple. Has links to all the things I mentioned, including our Google Plus page. And if you hit the interact button, which lists everything, there's also a contact form on that page. You can email us from there if that's your speed.
Sweet.
Nice and easy. And like Caleb said, we love it when you participate. Now you're thinking, you know, maybe this is the first time you're listening. Well, what am I participating on exactly? Well, we are a geek-centric talk show here. We do tech news, entertainment news. We talk about video games, comic books, all of that jazz. If it probably is hashtagged or has a tag on it of some kind, geek, we probably talk about it or maybe know slightly.
Or hint at it somewhere.
Yeah.
Or at least we're in the ballpark.
Yeah, yeah. We know of it.
Yes.
If we don't know it.
Right.
Right.
I guess. So anyway, that's
We've heard of Bitcoin, but doesn't it still mean we know how to use it?
Exactly. Yeah. I remember there were some crazy stories about it, but...
People always finding millions of dollars in random places. That's all the stories I ever hear about.
So there's quite a few of those.
And they use it on Almost Human.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Occasional episodes, they'll pull out a little, like, USB flash drive looking thing. Like, take some Bitcoins or something. I know that's not the exact, like, line of dialogue, but I don't remember it. So you're going to have to make do with that.
Okay.
Anyway, we've got a wonderful show for you tonight. Definitely stick around. I know I mentioned it's a geek-centric talk show, but we do play music to break up the segment. So never fret.
Never fear, there will be music.
Yeah, there will be music. We try to play some decent music as well as some locals, which we're required to, and hopefully those locals are cool. So please stick around, even if you don't like them.
Yes.
We mean we love all of our local bands.
Yes.
I mean, they're totally cool. We just, you know, some of them are better than others.
Sometimes.
It's like regular bands.
Exactly.
And all bands.
They're almost like regular bands.
Oh, stop it, you.
They're pretty close.
Great. Now
stop it.
I was like, hey, they're a local band. Like, oh, they just made fun of us. We're not listening to those guys anymore. No. It's like all music. Not all music is made for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And some people, it speaks to the soul, and others, it sort of bounces off.
Exactly. Speaking of things that go to souls and bounce off.
Hmm.
Let's get into the new releases of the week.
New releases.
All right. Starting us off in the theater, we've got kind of a couple doubleheader Scarlett Johansson flicks. Oh, so if you're a fan of the Johansson, this week is suited for you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
she's cool.
Yeah. So number one is probably the biggest title of the week. Probably. I'm going to go on out on a limb with this.
Smurfs? No.
No.
Under.
No. But there is some blue in
it. Oh, okay, okay. So, you didn't lose me.
Yeah. It's Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Ah, I should have known.
It's rated PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, if you've seen Captain America, this one's about the Winter Soldier sequel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty cool.
Soldiering and winter sports.
Yeah. You know.
I think an explosion here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, think a few of them.
It's a little synopsis just in case you've been without a TV or internet or anything anywhere. After the cataclysmic events in New York with the Avengers, Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America, just in case you didn't know, lives quietly in Washington, D.C., trying to adjust to the modern world. He's from World War II.
Mm.
But when a S.H.I.E.L.D. colleague comes under attack, Steve becomes embroiled in a web of intrigue that threatens to put the world at risk.
Dun, 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 dun.
This next one, this one's probably a little bit more up Caleb's alley. I know you're probably thinking, well, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. That definitely Caleb's interested in this. This one, though, I think hits Caleb right on the head. Nymphomaniac Volume 2. It's not rated. Joe... Not me. A self-diagnosed nymphomaniac, not me, recounts the erotic experiences of her adulthood. See, her, not me.
Oh, okay.
Aha.
And finally...
You don't look female, by
no,
the way.
No, I don't.
So, yeah.
And finally, Under the Skin, an alien seductress, Scarlett Johansson, preys upon hitchhikers in Scotland. So after the show, we need to look up flights to Scotland and see how much...
Mm-hmm.
On the surface, that doesn't sound like a horrible thing.
Yeah.
Under the surface.
I see what you did there.
I don't know.
Nice. That's just a small little sample of some films.
Of my humor.
Yeah, there you go. That's true.
Too.
And some movies coming to the theater.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're looking to expand your Blu-ray or DVD collection, perhaps some of these might pique your interest. There is the 47 Ronin. Based on an ancient tale of revenge and honor, this exciting fantasy adventure plays fast and loose with the historical accuracy, with lots of CGI to fill in the gaps.
What? They had CGI in yesteryear, right?
I'm sure they did. If you're looking for something a little more family-oriented, how about The Pirate Fairy, out on DVD? It's a story that happens before the Disney animated feature. In this one, a fairy named Zarina seeks adventure, and her quest drives her out of the Pixie Hollow. It also drives her into the hands of the pirates of Skull Rock.
Whoa.
It's up to Tinkerbell and her friends to bring Zarina back.
Oh, Tinkerbell. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tinkerbell talks in these new movies. It kind of freaks me out.
yeah, I don't like it when women do that.
Whoa.
No, I mean her character, for crying out loud. Don't start.
Hey-o!
Woo! All right, so...
Send your emails to jason@gmail.com.
Actually, don't do that.
I'm speaking in Caleb's voice.
Uh-huh. Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues on Blu-ray and DVD. Ron Burgundy returns. This time he and his crew are in New York City. And they're going to set the 24-hour news cycle on fire.
Whoa.
Or something like that.
Whoa.
Four seasons on Blu-ray. I'm sorry, just on DVD. Xavier is about to settle down, but before he goes into permanent couplehood, he wants one last go at the dating scene. He decides to date a woman in each season, and then pick the one he wants to marry. And then
that's
just
how it's done right there.
Yeah, it's nothing can go wrong with that scenario.
Right.
Then there is.
I'm sure life lessons will be learned.
Mm-hmm. The House of Good and Evil on DVD. A couple moves into a small town to get away from the pressures of city life, but this town has dark, deadly secrets.
Oh, okay.
Dun-dun-dun. And that rounds out our...
That rounds out that. Okay, I'm moving on to video games. All right. First, we have Elder Scrolls Online for the PC and Mac, a massively multiplayer online game set in the Elder Scrolls universe. Then we have Batman, Arkham Orange's Blackgate, Deluxe Edition for the PC, 360, PS3, and Wii U. Whew. A 2.5D game developed by Armature Studio, a companion game to Batman Arkham Origins. So it originally, I believe, released on like just handhelds. Didn't sell enough. So they're like, hey, let's port it.
Why not?
Yeah. Then we have FTL Advanced. This is a new free expansion for the PC as well as its first appearance on the iPad with the same free expansion.
Ooh.
So now you can play a very awesome game on your iPad. Then we have, for you baseball fans, MLB 14 The Show. Swing for the Fences and MLB 14 The Show, 2014 baseball game from Sony Computer Entertainment. And finally, the game that is shattering records, that is the dark horse here. Goat Simulator. Goat Simulator allows players to run around town as a goat.
There's some buzz about that.
This game, if it's not on your radar, put it on your radar. Check it out. It's crazy. Goat, as any goat simulator would be.
Have a general lack of sanity.
It's true.
It is a generalization, which I know isn't like really great, but in general...
Yeah.
It's not unheard of.
Insane.
Alrighty. So from video games to comics, over on the DC side is Aquaman and the Others, number one. It's a new series featuring the King of Atlantis and his team of heroes. They're tracking down a mysterious foe who is after their artifacts. Written by Dan Jurgens, with art by Lan Medina and Edgar Tato. Then there on the other side of town is from Marvel is Moon Knight number two. Warren Ellis takes the challenge of making Moon Knight awesome. Previews team sounded pretty impressed. It's written by Warren Ellis, and it's art by Declan Shavley. I apologize for butchering your name. Over in Dark Horse Landia,
we do that a lot on this show.
Yes, some people have interesting names that are hard to pronounce for
it's
the
true.
English tongue. Then in from Dark Horse is Angel and Faith Season 10, number one. That's a lot of numbers. Angel is taken upon himself to watch over a section of London that has been flooded with magic. Meanwhile, Faith is taking out zompires with Buffy? Written by Victoria Gilschler and art by Will Conrad. Over from Boom Studios is Dead Letters, number one. Sam has stumbled in the middle of a gang war that he didn't even remember being in when he wakes up. He is going to, it's going to take all his quick thinking and hopefully the return of his memory to sort this all out. Written by Christopher Sabella and with art by Chris Visions. Then from IDW comes Monster and Madman, number two. The Frankenstein monster is in Whitechapel in 1888, but so is the Ripper. As the body count rises, who is the true culprit? Written by Steve Niles with art by Damian Worm.
And everything happens in Whitechapel.
And then finally from Image, we bring you The Field. Number one, Christian, a former Bible salesman, has found a man with no memory, no clothes, and a cell phone that gives him cryptic text messages. But Christian isn't walking the straight and narrow. He's currently in the middle of a caper that involves sex, meth, and murder. How in the world is this going to end? Written by Ed Brinson and with art by Simon Roy.
If you read it, they will come.
There you go.
All right. And to round out the new releases, I've got some Muzak. All right.
Ooh,
number one is The album Sweet Disarray from Dan Kroll, the debut release for the Liverpool-based singer-songwriter, was self-produced. Then we have the album In Each and Every One from Polar Bear. This is the fifth full-length release for the experimental jazz band led by Sebastian Rockford. Then we have Salad Days from Mac DeMarco. This is the second full-length solo release for the Canadian singer-songwriter. Then we have Baby from White Hinterland. The third full-length studio release for Casey Dinell was self-produced in a home studio in her parents' basement. It's not just for playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we have A Dotted Line from Nickel Creek. Not Nickelback, Nickel Creek. The Grammy-winning bluegrass trio of Chris Thill, Sarah Watkins, and Sean Watkins returned from its 2007 indefinite hiatus to release its Eric Valentine-produced sixth studio album.
About time they popped up again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I have no idea who that is, but that's cool that you guys do. And maybe you out there as well. Speaking of things that you out there can do.
Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio?
Do I?
Stream us whenever you want at www.kscu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
Pro tip, look for us with our call letters, KSCU. It's much easier to find those than finding us by our frequency.
Very good pro tip. All right, we're going to take a music break. So definitely participate on the show during the music break. Let us know if you think Jason, how you rate his awesome meter right now.
What is my level of super?
Yeah, yeah. Is it, I know it's early in the show,
and
be
a little bit friendly because I am a little sensitive,
and we're getting back into the swing. It's been a few weeks since we've all been together to do the show. So.
Exactly. Right. So we're gonna take a music break. We'll come back with the news, and of course, in the show we've got Caleb's Corner, some Jason fixation, and for our final segment of the show, we're gonna play and talk about some of our favorite cover songs. All right. Let's get to that music. I'm going to play a song you've probably heard before, but I don't care. I'm just going to play it right now. It's Reflector from Arcade Fire. You're listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Culture Talk Show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are in the news, and Jason has our first story.
Okay. If you can imagine for a second skydiving and thinking of all of the pressures and excitement that would happen in skydiving,
Okay.
The first thing that probably doesn't pop into your head is...
poop?
Actually, that's one of the first things that pops into my head. I'm thinking it might be scary, at least if you're not used to it. But I was going to say the first thing that doesn't usually pop into your head is a meteorite.
No.
Not so much.
Skydiving and meteorites don't normally something you would think of mixing.
Well, apparently somebody came within, it looks like... slapping distance of being killed by a meteorite while skydiving.
Wow.
Can you imagine the odds on that? Just seeing one, number one.
Yeah.
But thankfully the guy actually had one of those helmet cams on, and so I can only imagine what was going through his head when he saw the thing in the first place. I'm like, what the heck? But thankfully you too can see it. And it does look like it was during the actual parachute part of his dive. So I don't know if that makes it better or worse because you're even slower and less maneuverable.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I highly encourage people to check out this footage because, yeah, it's a random rock falling from the sky right in front of the guy.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know it doesn't sound all that exciting.
No, it's like it's like my just, it's like yeah. it's like
what you said. Like I would not think of.
Right on the list of things. It's like, is my parachute functional?
Yeah,
yeah. Am I about to puke up into my trainer's face?
Yeah, or maybe I'd hit a bird or something.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a plane. There's no planes up here, right?
Like, there needs to be like a top 10 list of things that you're afraid of hitting in air while skydiving, and that one would be number 10, I'd think.
I'm not even sure that'd be in the top 10.
Well, it is now.
Yeah, definitely
it is now.
As of
I
now.
Guess it wouldn't be you hitting it near so much, but still.
Yeah, I see what you're going with there. So from things in the sky to...
Things that make you go... to no. things that make you go...
Huh. It's a future truck.
A future truck.
Yeah.
I saw this, actually.
Future truck.
Yeah, Walmart... recently revealed that they have a prototype design. Now, this is a design that may never actually see the road.
But still, the idea of Walmart pioneering truck travel is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah. This is a strange device. But at the same time, like, they have the single largest truck trailer fleet in the United States. So... You know, anything they can do to reduce their costs, improve efficiency, improve the environment, that's pretty awesome. So they released a video of this vehicle, and it's a very interesting design. It looks like someone made it
theater of the mind listening to the radio.
Right. Imagine like the nose of an F-16,
okay,
dragging a very nicely done but still much a trailer of a trailer like a
regular tractor trailer.
Regular tractor trailer. Okay. Maybe with a nice carbon fiber weave on the shell that makes it all really light and strong. They have like fancy hub covers.
Cool.
Yeah. Plus they have fancy hubcaps and they have like those like fairings on the lower side so it like redirects the air around it in a more efficient manner.
Okay.
Those are getting more and more standard, but
they are. But like this one's like it's like got aerodynamics all over the place. It's like literally like they stuck a jet fighter on the front of it, and this thing has a turbine, a micro turbine in it, so it actually has the beginnings of a jet engine built into it.
Right. Which turbine engine actually makes a ton of sense for a regular tractor trailer. I'm surprised nobody has done it yet.
I think it's loaded
with fuel efficiency for something that big. That's why trains use them. So. Mm-hmm.
And it's also like good for long distance travel. It's like it's not good for in the city or down to the market, but like you're going across the country. Yeah, turbine engine's actually pretty good for that. Right. I think the main challenge a lot of the designers are facing was the size of it. This is like a new highly efficient micro turbine, which is sort of a new thing, which I think is. Kind of how they've gotten around
in my car.
Some of it. That'd be kind of rad.
Strap it to the back. But yeah, the way that I'd explain it is actually ripping off somebody else's article.
Oh.
That I saw it on. That I thought was pretty perfect. It's like somebody dropped the cockpit for a spaceship on top of a on top of a Corvette.
Yes. Okay.
That's what it looks like.
Yes. That is a very apt description of the cab. Yes. Yeah. It looks like, yeah.
It's even like sectioned almost exactly like it. It literally looks like somebody parked a Corvette and somebody dropped something on top of it.
A sports car and then a capsule on top of it. There's pictures in put the link up on our Facebook and Twitter page.
And as weird as that sounds, it's still pretty cool. So
it sounds strange. It looks a little bizarre. The video is actually kind of rad, and which is not a phrase I would think to stick with with Walmart in the same sentence. But it's actually kind of cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
Take that, Tarjay.
Like Caleb mentioned, we post the links to all of our stories on our Facebook page and tweet them out on Twitter and all that jazz. So if you're driving right now, obviously don't look them up. Wait until you have a free moment.
Yes.
If you're not driving, go ahead and look it up. All right. Speaking of things that you can look up as well, the San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer?
And how?
Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. That's where I found them. All right, speaking of things that I found on the internet, this next story makes me extremely happy.
Please do tell.
Phil Spencer revealed as new head of Xbox. Yes.
Nice.
This guy, I wouldn't really say
tell
this about any, like, you wouldn't really think like, oh, okay, it's sort of the higher ups at like Sony or Microsoft or these things. Like the word sort of cool doesn't really get thrown around a lot. To me, this guy is really cool.
Okay.
Like he won me over when I heard his interview on Podcast Unlocked. Ryan McCaffrey interviewed him, and he's just like, he's a gamer. Like he fought hard for like the State of Decay guys, got them on board at Microsoft.
Okay. Was he the one that introduced him at the one of their events?
Yeah, if you see a picture of him, you'll probably recognize him. Like
he's wearing the State of Decay shirt.
Yeah, he came out in like different shirts and stuff like that. But yeah, there were people, you know, leaving Microsoft, going off to do different things, and you know, there was a lot of talk like, oh, who's going to take over for Mark Whitten? That's the guy who left. And so, you know, a lot of people kind of on the gamer side were like, oh, Phil should step in to this role. That would be awesome because he's a gamer. And like he's come out and said like, yeah, we didn't do a good job with our messaging. I own a PS4. I own a Wii U. Like I like all these things. I'm a gamer. It's like he came out and like congratulated Sony on like an awesome job. You know,
he was very classy about the whole thing.
Yeah. So like to me, like that, total respect. Like that's awesome that, you know, he'll come out and say those things. Like obviously he's like, you know, super proud about Xbox, but
yeah, naturally.
But yeah, but to come out
and he should be.
Yeah. But to come out and still like, you know, be like, yeah, I own these other things too. It's not just like you have to do this, blah blah blah.
I am a Microsoft robot. I have only one thing in my life.
But yeah, the article I grabbed from IGN, it's Microsoft has announced Phil Spencer is the new head of Xbox, taking over from the recently departed Mark Whitten, who served as Xbox corporate VP. Former head of Microsoft Game Studios has explained in a statement the extent of his new role, which will see him heading up the Xbox, Xbox Live, and creative teams, including Xbox Music, Xbox Video, and Microsoft Studios. Quote, I will now be leading the Xbox, Xbox Live, and creative teams, including Xbox Music, Video, and Microsoft Studios, as we deliver the next generation of games and entertainment. Combining these teams will strengthen the connection between some of the world's most innovative creators and those building the Xbox itself. I am incredibly proud of the talented Xbox employees around the world and believe, like they do, in the power of technology to bring games and entertainment to life across console, PC, tablet, and mobile devices. The growth of the Xbox community with over 80 million Xbox owners around the world is built on the foundation of exclusive franchises, new and original IP, and the world's most popular cross-platform games. Games and gamers have always been at the core of Xbox and the core of my work, and gaming will be our core as we take Xbox forward. So, yeah, there's more to the article that I'll post. But, yeah, I was super excited to hear about this. It's just, if you have the opportunity, look up. It's an IGN podcast, Podcast Unlock. Find the one where Ryan McCaffrey interviews Phil Spencer, and I think he'll probably win you over, too, if you're, you know, a gamer.
Okay.
But yeah, I look forward to seeing what he has to present at E3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It kind of boggles the mind what all could pop up. And to me, it's more interesting finding out what Sony is going to present, just because things have been kind of skeletal on the Sony side other than the like smaller games. But
yeah.
Seems like Microsoft is probably going to have bigger news.
Mm.
But anyway, so we go from that to purposely creating oil slicks on roads.
Intentionally what? Creating oil slicks?
Yes. Not so slick, I guess. But they found out in Canada, of all places, a new way to make asphalt out of effectively dirt roads.
Okay.
You can just dump a whole bunch of fry oil on them.
Wow. You know, that I actually see where they're going with that, and I am surprised that no one thought of that sooner.
And yeah,
it'll be the tastiest smelling roads ever.
Right. You wouldn't think that it would work just because, I mean, you usually think of oil as being slippery and whatnot, but you dump it on dirt and it turns into asphalt, like cheap asphalt too. Mm-hmm. Like, not like the best asphalt in the world, but it solves a lot of problems. And on top of which is reusing fry oil.
Yeah, because we've been trying to figure out what to do with that for a while now.
Right, and you can go the biodiesel route. It has some processing hitches. Mm-hmm. Or you can figure out how to convert an old diesel car into a fry oil burning car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But either way, you're going to create that tasty, tasty fry smell
mm-hmm.
on the road.
That will be the hungriest roads you will ever drive. You'd be like, don't roll down the windows. Do not open the vents. Why? Because it's going to smell too good.
Right.
The South is going to love this.
Unfortunately, it's just in the Great White North for now. Mm. So hopefully it makes its way down. an extra little bit of information on the thing. Apparently, the dirtier and older the fry oil is,
mm-hmm.
the better it works at this.
Oh.
So,
wow.
I would cook as many fries as you want in your oil now. Your last batches of fries may not be the perfect fry anymore. But just imagine what you'll be able to do with roads. Okay.
Just think what mm-hmm. you will be able to prepare. Right.
And I'm not telling people don't like take your fry oil and like dump them on the streets or anything.
Yeah, I'm
that
just
would create know. Problems. Just dump them on your dirt streets.
His employee at McDonald's has the vat. Like, okay, I'm going. Oh, right. Wait,
I read
what?
About this. This is going to be awesome.
Dirt path. Yeah.
watching all the cars trying to go through the drive-thru doing donuts. Not on purpose.
Yeah.
Woo, 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 woo.
Doing donuts on fry oil. Anyway, thank you, Gizmodo, for the tasty, tasty story.
Mm-hmm. All right, so from covering your dirt roads with fry oil to possible finding of a live chupacabra. There's no good transition from there. Mm. It's found.
They both sound tasty to me.
Mm. So
I mean,
yeah,
chalupa, chupacabra.
So you. So you would fry a chupacabra.
Well, you fry a chalupa, right? So
yeah,
it's practically the same, just a few syllables different. How tasty does it look? Caleb.
On a scale of 1 to don't eat it, I'd put it on the don't eat it scale.
What?
it does not look very appetizing. But yeah, the fine folks over at Huffington Post put up a little an article with video of what this creature looks like, and it is quite the thing.
Okay, tell us what it looks like.
All right, imagine like it looks not unlike a oversized chihuahua, hairless chihuahua, with
You're already in bad territory.
It's got dark skin. It might have fur. I can't tell from the picture at this particular one, but it does not look particularly appetizing. It's like it's like somewhere between like if you took a micro jackal.
Okay.
Kind of along those lines, like it's got large ears, kind of beady, buggy eyes, and like, but not quite as scrawny, not quite as scrawny as like a chihuahua, but like.
So
small.
This thing is what people think has been plaguing the South American cattle industry for decades.
There is some the people that found it speculate that this is what it is. There is some debate over the truthiness of this particular.
I like that. I like truthiness.
Yeah, the truthiness of this claim is still being examined. But another person lives in the area. Phyllis Canyon believes that this thing looks rather like a creature she has stuffed in her, as in like the.
Careful there.
Stuffed like you should find a stuffed bear in a museum, kind of stuffed. I know there's a word for it, but I can't think of it right now. Anyway, they think
taxidermized.
Yes, it's a.
I don't
it's
know
been
if
taxidermied.
That's a word either.
But yeah, it seems to resemble this other creature. So there's there's some speculation there, but there's no conclusive proof that the other creature that Miss Kenyon has is actually chupacabra either. So therein lies some of the another layer of doubt on the story.
Okay.
Nevertheless, it's interesting just because it's like, wow, that is a weird looking thing, and I could see why you might think that is a chupacabra based on other imagery that people have put up about it.
I think like 2 months ago they had a big thing where they thought they found the chupacabra, and it turns out that it was just like a coyote with mange.
That's also kind of gnarly.
But yeah, it looked nasty. It I would imagine it as a chupacabra pretty easily if I saw it roaming around my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Okay, so from...
from gnarly coyotes.
Oh, okay. All right. This is... all right. I'm going to try my best to segue with this. You'll just roll with it.
I'm rolling.
I'm rolling.
A little while back, the Uncharted 4... director Amy Hennig,
right?
Left, or I don't know the full details, but
this is long
she's not a part of Naughty Dog. Okay, not a part of that anymore.
Slides right in.
Well, she's now joined Visceral Games.
Mm-hmm.
And is working on an unannounced Star Wars project.
Booyah.
Yes. Following her departure from Naughty Dog earlier this year, Uncharted creative director Amy Hennig has joined Visceral Games. Hennig serves as creative director on Visceral's unannounced Star Wars project, which may be co-developed by EA Canada. Quote, over the last few weeks, Amy and I have spent a lot of time talking about what her first project would be. Visceral VP Steve Papotsis, another name we butcher on the show, sorry. Steve, dude, wrote on EA.com, there are a lot of different directions we could have gone, but I could sense that what really excited her about this opportunity, because let's face it, we weren't the only ones knocking at her door, was Star Wars. Amy's a huge fan. We happen to be making a Star Wars game. Just thinking about the possibilities made both of us even more excited about having her join the team. As both a colleague and friend, I've always admired her approach to creative development, focusing on nailing down the soul of a game first, and then making sure the writing, the gameplay, the design, and art comes together to form a unified interactive experience for the player. So yes,
that's a lot of layers of cool stacked right there.
Yeah,
I am trying hard not to get too excited about it because I don't want to be too disappointed, but I am, that is a lot to be encouraged about.
They're getting a lot of good ingredients.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for this.
Hopefully it's not too many cooks to ruin the pot, but this is if this stew comes together, it will be a delicious, delicious thing.
It sounds like they're going to leave a lot to her, like they, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works too, and I don't doubt it will work, but since Visceral already has such a strong identity, having another lead come in, I hope it works really well. But.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Visceral does with it, too, because, like, where they take on the Star Wars universe, because they have a very particular style to them.
Yeah.
Will that mesh with the Star Wars?
Yeah. Will it be, it's like a third-person action-y kind of thing,
right.
Like Dead Space? Are they going to try a whole different... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, arc where will it go? It's potential. Lots of potential.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad to me that they Well, it sounds like nobody's planning on moving forward on the, what was the name of the game that
1313?
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately, and that got canned.
That's been canned and probably mulched at this point.
Can you imagine with that pairing, though, how good that game would have turned out?
I hope
it's
still
along
unannounced
those lines
what it's going to be, so they might kind of resurrect some of that, and I think that could be kind of rad.
I mean, I know it's a tough sell for a lot of the big Star Wars fans because it doesn't have the iconic Jedi Star Wars experience from what we understand, but it sounds super cool to me.
Yeah,
they released like some screenshots and some additional info when it pretty much was dead. Mm-hmm. Like, here's what we had so far, and yeah, it looked pretty awesome. But speaking of things that are awesome, you're listening to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound, and I hope you are taking notes on Jason's super rating.
Yeah.
So you can let us know how super he is.
I'm looking forward to finding out.
Yes.
Heck yeah.
I'm crossing my fingers.
So from there, do we have any more stories we want to do?
I've got two that are interesting. We'll let you guys vote. We have one about...
Ooh, okay.
If you promise they're interesting.
Possible life on Saturn, one of Saturn's moons.
That one.
Or robots for surgery in space.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with Saturn still.
It's going to go with Saturn?
Yeah.
Joe?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So they have found what on the moon of Enceladus... I believe that's how it's pronounced.
It's a weird name, yeah.
It is. It's probably Latin, which is a dead language.
Weird.
So.
Yeah.
So but scientists believe that they have found a hidden ocean on the moon.
How do they find a hidden ocean, number one?
Well, because it's packed underneath a lot of ice. Most of the surface of this moon is ice.
No, I get hidden ocean. How do they find it?
Oh.
This sounds fishy. Do the other story.
Nice. No,
I've taught you well.
The Cassini spacecraft and a few other high deep space probes have, mostly the Cassini, has been able to do a lot more searching of Saturn and its surroundings.
Okay.
And with it, they've been able to determine that there may actually be a liquid ocean underneath the ice. And because it's a liquid ocean, there's a strong chance that there could be life closer to what we understand to being life on this planet. This moon. It's still like in the very, very maybe, possibly, could be level, but it's distinct. It has much more rings of truth around.
Yeah, and actually the interesting part too, it could be, if there is life, it could be quite large, just because the planet or this moon is literally like the size of Arizona, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's six. Huh. Yeah, it's let's see, the size is listed here. Let me keep going. Anyway, the surface of the planet is -180 degrees Celsius, which is -292 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm. Bit nippy.
A little cold.
Bring some galoshes.
The ice is 6 miles thick.
That's fairly thick.
Yes. And
you need like a predator hunting party to get through that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that, so...
Oh, apologies. The water is 6 miles deep. The ice is 19 to 25 miles thick. I had that backwards in my notes. Goodness.
That's way more. That's even more difficult to comprehend.
Yeah, and there is a rocky floor underneath the ice and the water. So it's there's speculation that this might have been this sort of environment, maybe not the cold, but the physical environment might have been not so far from creating life on Earth. Exciting.
Well, so. and do they know what sort of temperature the water would have underneath the ice? Because with that much ice, it has to have almost like an insulation effect, I'd think.
They don't say in this particular article.
Of course, that could make it even colder. I guess the core wouldn't be molten or anything, but.
Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating. Just a whole bunch of really cool information here on space.com's story about it. Lots of good stuff. And these now rather old satellites that we shot out there are still bringing us back lots and lots of really good science. I'm wondering when we'll start, when the next blurb from Voyager will hit us, because like Voyager 1 has now escaped since it left the solar system. When or if do we get a signal back from it?
Wasn't that the plot of the first Star Trek movie, or no?
Star Trek the Motion Picture, effectively.
Okay. Yeah.
So
hopefully it turns out better than that. But I do have a story that's kind of otherworldly, because it's something that nice. I've mentioned once before as a possibility for building moon bases and what have you, mm-hmm. is that a lot of different people have been working on creating very large 3D printers, which is a popular subject for me to bring up.
Because they're pretty cool.
They're kind of neat. Well, in Amsterdam, they recently started working on a completely 3D printed house, and they're going crazy on it, like trying to make something completely nuts, never been seen before type of thing.
Wait, they're making this in Amsterdam?
In Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
We won't get into any...
This story is bogus. I don't believe it.
See, no, it gets even more interesting.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, apparently the people in Amsterdam are angered that they were beaten to the punch. Because
somebody beat them? Because
they're still
house?
Building this thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, in Shanghai, they built the first 3D printed house.
What?
And they did it the way that I'd mentioned before. They were using much more common materials, like a concrete-esque type of material,
mm-hmm.
which is what I'd mentioned in another article, like sending something up to like the moon or whatnot and having it use just the materials around there to mm-hmm. create structures that way. They did the exact same type of idea in Shanghai, and they 3D printed things effectively out of concrete. Now, the people in Amsterdam are angered because they think that Shanghai cheated in that they printed out sections of these houses and then put them together later.
I'd say that they're both going to be the first one to build a 3D printed house, but first to build a 3D printed house out of constructed materials that are then built into a house, and then building a house that is 100% 3D printed, like the whole house is like a printed object.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff too, because since it is a concrete-like design,
mm-hmm.
if you can imagine trying to build a house out of one single cinder block that's like replicated over and over again,
mm-hmm.
it's sort of that same idea. So you have kind of a sloped roof on it, you have kind of a core back and forth system that creates hollow walls, so you have instant
insulation.
And the neatest thing about it is that by doing it this way, they can create a house for less than $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah. that's actually marginally more than the cargo container houses that they're building in certain cities, which were the current, like, crazy cheap housing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an actual house instead of, like something that was kit-bashed, so...
That is impressive.
Did it say how long it took?
Let's see.
It's like,
I don't see it really close
house,
here, but...
It'll take 4 years, but we can make it.
No, that's... Yeah, it had to have been fast, because they just got it together in the time that the people in Amsterdam were actually in the process of building theirs.
Okay, so...
And that's the other thing. The house in Amsterdam is actually building it out of the more normal 3D printing method, which is some form of plastic.
Right.
So, which is kind of weird for a house, but they're doing crazy architectural things by doing that. So, that's pretty neat.
It'll be very interesting to see what they come up with, because like one will be sort of like the high end house, like the luxury level house that's inexpensive, and the other one is the this is a house you have you can afford this house kind of house.
Right. they have pictures of it, and I'll put the article up. But it's nothing spectacular, but it does look something. It looks fairly artistic. It looks like something that some designer would put out as a thesis or something like that.
Okay.
For his ending college project. Very simple, very bare bones, but kind of nifty. So,
very cool.
Yeah, I like it. Although I think the people in Amsterdam probably aren't too happy.
Yeah. It sounds that way.
It sounds like they're a little peeved, but
yeah. Get over it. Right. You've already got stuff.
Yeah, they have right? all sorts of things.
They're already famous.
Not almost famous, but actually famous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you want to do your robot story?
I'm willing to do it.
I want you to.
All right. So here
this will be the last story of the news portion.
Very good then. The fine folks at the IEEE Spectrum put together this interesting story about a device being designed by the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and it's a small robot which would actually be about the size of your fist.
Okay, that's fairly small.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually scheduled for its first zero-G test in the next few months. And it could be the first step to giving medical attention to those stuck in deep space for months. So like colonizations and or deep space travel to Mars and beyond? Question mark.
Huh.
So this This robot is actually connected to a human operator that will, interact with it once it's in its thing. And because of its small size and stuff, it is actually it's designed to be as small and as non-invasive as possible.
What? This thing's not going to crawl inside you, is it?
Well, no, it's not small enough for that yet.
This
particular one is still going to be an external, but the idea is that because they want it to be minimally invasive, because if you're in zero G, you don't want to be spilling blood because you can't really collect that very easily.
Just a big straw. Psh, NASA needs to talk to me more often. I got the answers.
So the idea was to in light gravity situations where you can't always have where you have maybe more technical staff at a location instead of medical staff because there's just not as many people.
Yeah.
But this might be a way to kind of like bridge the gap, and it's a really neat idea. It's still somewhat they don't have any actual pictures of the
it's in its infancy perhaps
of the thing itself, but it. It looks pretty cool. It's gonna the idea the concept is really interesting. It's the idea of like robot surgeons is just kind of neat.
Yeah, to me in my brain, I'm creating a picture that's halfway between the Kinos from Stargate Universe, a little like floating. Well, they'd be like the training droid, the little sphere from the first Star Wars movie.
Uh huh.
And between that and another Star Wars reference, the like torture droid that Vader had for Leia. So I'm thinking of like a little tiny version of that torture droid with needles and whatnot sticking out. So it's kind of creepy, but it seems like it'd be useful.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways they described it is sort of like it's reminiscent of some of the squid type creatures from the robots from the Matrix. Where it's going to have like arms and appendages that come off of it, which is not unlike yours, just a little bit less.
No, that's even creepier. I like it.
So yeah, it sounds really interesting. Nice. And good on you, space scientists, because that's totally awesome.
Thank you, space scientists.
thank you. Because you can, maybe they'll even have it for like undersea stuff as well.
Yeah. If they can perfect it to work in a lot of other places, it could just be really useful in a lot of other circumstances. Or even like war zones, like you can't get the medic out there. Drop the droid on him. The medic takes over from there.
Where you
yeah,
go.
That would be cool.
All right.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No.
Because I'm going to wrap up the news, so if you want to.
Yeah, it's unimportant, so I'll let you wrap
Okay. All right, that's going to do it for the news portion of the show. If you want to check out any of the stories that we mentioned, Caleb, where can they do that?
You can find it on our Facebook page. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words, on Facebook. Or you can they'll also be on our Twitter account, which is Robots Attack Me. And after the show's over and Joe posts the show online, they will be also on robotsattack.me.
That is right. All right, let's give them a PSA before we get to some music.
Learn how to capture nature as it dons the colors and emotions of spring at a photography workshop with Guadalupe River Park Conservancy. Professional nature photographer Greg Karekis will present the basics of nature photography and lead a hands-on outdoor shoot in the Guadalupe River Park, Saturday, April 19th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Call 408-298-7657 or visit www.grpg.org to learn more.
Nice. All right, let's get to that music break. I'm going to play The Well-Wishers, the track Peel Away from the album Dunwoody. It's a local artist. In fact, it's our very own Jeff Shelton from the Power Pop Show.
Hey,
so sweet. Here we go. You're listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSCU 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. And this is Caleb's Corner, the place where I get to pontificate, thoughtfulize, and express views and opinions that are not necessarily related to anyone here at the station KSCU or to our lovely hosts, Santa Clara University, or anyone else but myself. They are not even particularly shared by the hosts of this other hosts of the show unless they choose to chime in. But
that always makes it sound to me like you're going to say something like absolutely horrible. But
yeah,
no, I just say that because it's, you know, want to make sure that it's clear that this is just me, my thoughts and opinions. Although tonight there shouldn't be any need for that because it's mostly going to be informational. That's right, because the last few that I did before our short hiatus while we trained was to talk about I was talking about the crew of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I started off by talking about Star-Lord, otherwise known as Peter Quill, who will be played by Chris Pratt. Thank you. Like my brain's looking at his name and it's not coming. And it's from what near as I can tell from the trailer they've released since I talked about him the first time around, they're gonna be going with a origin story more like the very first version of his story where he's abducted by aliens at a young age, and it looks like it's gonna be somewhere in the 80s given the paraphernalia around his character
and his age,
that too. so there's that, and he's. It does look like they're still are going to give him ship, which is not which is the silly which is the relatively uninventive name of his mind controlled ship that he flies around in. It also apparently has an AI, which they didn't get into much in the trailer, but it was mostly about Chris Pratt being Star-Lord, so, or Peter Quill. So we'll see how that all goes down when the movie actually comes out. All right. Then after that, I talked about Drax the Destroyer, who will be played by Dave Bautista. And there's...
Who looks very destroyerly.
Yeah, he looks pretty mean. It is yet to be known exactly what his role in the story will be beyond walking around the scene looking like a boss. According to in the comics, he has the ability to actually, for at least a short span of time, penetrate the force field that Thanos can create around himself. So that may come into play. Don't know yet. Yeah. And also the version of Drax the Destroyer that he will be playing is a different version than the one that is the very first incarnation. So he's going to be a little bit lighter, featuring more knifey goodness. And then there is Groot, who will be voiced by Vin Diesel. And he is effectively an Ent in terms of appearance.
Vin Diesel?
No, Groot. Vin Diesel is quite tall, though, from what I hear, but not quite so tree-ish.
not nearly.
But Groot is another alien. Obviously, he is a tree. But one of his unique abilities is that he can regrow from even just a sampling of himself. So that may also come into play. He has a rather limited dialogue set, unfortunately. Basically, his line is, "I am Groot." But, you know, honestly, that's the limited dialogue characters is something that Vin Diesel's done many a time. So I think he should be able to do something with it. We'll see what happens.
That's true. I did actually, one of the podcasts I listened to, the director,
mm-hmm.
talked about when Vin Diesel came into the studio to do the lines and stuff. And mm-hmm. he was like, it's like, yeah, you'd be amazed at the dedication he went into of okay, so this line of
I am Groot,
like the 37 different ways he says it. And it's like, they're all totally different. You're just like, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he has some history doing that with Iron Giant. So.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think, which is one more reason why they chose him for the role, because he has a little bit of experience with that. But so that will be interesting to see how they bring that all together. So that's the first three. And that leaves two more core members of the Guardians of the Galaxy to cover. Next week, I will be covering Rocket.
The squirrel, or Rocket. Right?
No, he is not a squirrel.
He's a flying squirrel.
Oh, okay. Right?
Rocket Raccoon.
Okay. I was wondering why you were going to bring up Rocky and Bullwinkle when you were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
It would be awkward.
Kind of weird.
Yeah. A little different. Just a little different.
Is there a cameo at least with him? Or
I don't think so.
Oh, they're not part of the Marvel universe.
No, they're still their own thing.
Okay.
Do you think they'll have some kind of joke though in the movie? It's like, what do I look like? A flying squirrel or something?
He's gonna put on little goggles, and I guarantee there's gonna be a line like that.
There may be. There's a certain
guaranteed.
I guarantee.
If the trailer featuring Chris Pratt's anything to judge by, there will be a certain tongue in cheekness to the humor there, of the.
It's gonna be quite cheeky.
There will be blood.
That I'm sure there'll be that as well.
It's the movie title.
I just
said that.
I got you.
I'm not really sure why I said that. Actually, to be honest,
it makes a pretty decent connection.
That does it?
I don't know. I can see where the logic of the phrase would link together, but anyways,
I do know something that does makes sense, is logical, and is something that I need to say right now.
What's that?
Ticket giveaways. Do you want free tickets to a concert? KCU has got you covered. Just listen in, and you could win. To see which shows we're giving away tickets for, go to KCU.org and click on promotions.
Promotions.
Some big concerts coming around this year.
It's the summer season, spring, summer. We're going to move into some cool stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool.
Very.
I think I heard
that band.
Backstreet Boys and was it Tiffany were touring together or something like that. That'd be pretty awesome, huh?
And Tiffany, huh?
I think so. Either that or it was some fever dream that I heard on the radio or something.
I'm going with that one.
I'm pretty sure it was real.
I know at least one of them is going back on tour.
Or already toured or something, but...
Yeah.
All right, well, I look forward to learning the rest of the Guardians of the Galaxy to get us pumped and ready for the movie in August.
Yes. Another friend was talking like, when are they going to get around to bringing more Thanos? And I'm like, well, I think that's exactly where this is going. And you'll see that connection as well as the cast expands.
Ooh. All right, I look forward to it. Okay. Let's take another music break. I'm going to play the artist Kitten, the track Like a Stranger from the album Like a Stranger. Makes it nice and easy when you're typing it up and looking for it. And then when we come back, we're going to go over some of our favorite cover songs, talk about them, this and that. So please stick around for that. Thank you for tuning in so far. And remember, keep thinking about that Raiden, that super on Jason, and let us know.
And anything I can do to improve my
That super.
Exactly.
I'm open to ideas.
And you can give us that feedback on our Facebook page, two words, Robots Attack, or our Twitter handle, Robots Attack Me, or on yield email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
All right. Let's get to the music here on Robots Attack. KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM. The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
You are now entering the core.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, Geek Central Talk Show here on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're in the core, and we're going to talk/play some of our favorites cover songs that we like. You know, at least I didn't put these in any sort of order. I just thought of some ones like, you know, I like this cover version of this. And so, you know, these may not be like our, okay, this is number one, this is number two, but these are definitely ones that we enjoy thoroughly. And we're going to have Caleb go first. But before that, I want to do our last PSA of the night just so we can, you know, get the music sort of uninterrupted. Yeah. It's just a few minutes early. I don't think it will be too bad. But San Jose Animal Advocates, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever home but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right, Caleb, I believe you have our first cover song.
I do. And it is Runaway by Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. Now, if you've never heard of Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, you need to reevaluate some of your listening choices. They do punk covers, punk/ska covers of like old school, like
punky ska-y.
old songs
or skunk. And,
Paca. five of the better known members of other punk bands. They all decided to joined together and became kind of a super group. They called Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, and they just did nothing but covers of really good songs. And I like pretty much everything they've done, but this one's just one that I've always had an enjoyment for because I like the original song too. So,
all right. So what is it?
It's Runaway, covered by Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
All right, here we go.
Walk along, I wonder what went wrong with our love, a love that was so strong. And as I still walk on, I think of the things we've done together while our hearts were young. I'm a walking in the rain, take a fall and I feel the pain, wishing you were here by me to end this misery. Why she ran away, and I wonder if she will stay. My little runaway, my runaway.
Alrighty, so that was Me First and the Gimme Gimmes covering Runaway, an nice old surf tune, pumped up and ramped up for a new generation, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually heard that, so yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Have you heard of Me First and the Gimme Gimmes before? Or?
Yeah, I've heard of them. Mm-hmm. The name was familiar. It's like, oh yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't too familiar with their sound, per mm-hmm. se.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty unique. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and it's especially cool, like, listening to an entire album, their stuff. They managed to pull off a bunch of songs with that sound pretty flawlessly. Mm-hmm. The main weakness is a lot of people can't get into that sound, and so it might be a little bit much for some. Yeah. But if you're into it, you'll love it.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and do one from a soundtrack. It ended up being kind of a perfect storm of awesomeness, in my view, is that the movie Sucker Punch, the main star of it, was actually a fairly accomplished singer. So they redid a song by the Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams, using her, and it turned out really awesome, in my view.
Who was the lead in that one?
Emily Browning.
Huh. Okay.
So, without further ado...
Disagree.
Uh-oh. We had a slight technical difficulty there, but it was...
Unfortunate, yes.
It's solid track, solid mm-hmm. track. I do believe I remember us, the Jason and I, playing that one time when we were subbing for another show, but... But yeah, it's some good stuff.
Definitely.
I think we'll move on to the next song. So why don't you hand over the old chord and I will play my next one.
Sounds good.
So what do you got on deck for
us? Okay, so I've actually got... All right, the first one I'm going to play, I'm going to actually play just a tad of the original just so...
Oh, okay.
Because the cover is... very different. So, but
right.
I just want to see like okay, if people are familiar with this particular track.
All right.
It's a pretty well-known yeah. like
the riff is
that riff yeah. is mm-hmm. is pretty popular, right? So, okay. So that is Iggy Pop, The Passenger.
Mhm.
The version I'm going to play is from the... He's no longer living, the lead singer of NXS.
Oh, okay.
He did a cover of it. And he actually did a cover of it for, of all things, the Batman Forever soundtrack.
That movie had a good soundtrack. It was yeah. just not a good movie.
Yeah. So here is the cover of okay. The Passenger.
Sweet.
The city's ripped backside sees a winding ocean. was made for you and me. All of it was made for you and me. It just belongs to you and me. So let's take a ride, see what's mine.
So yes, that was Michael Hutchence's cover of Passenger, the Iggy Pop song from the Batman Forever soundtrack. Totally different, I think, from the original, but I really like it. It's sort of, every time I listen to it, I just picture myself like riding shotgun in like a really awesome car and like while it's raining, but driving like really slow and just looking out and seeing like all the city lights at night, like reflecting off the water and everything window, but...
I could totally
like
see
a scene out of Sin City right there or something, except cooler.
Yeah,
with better dialogue, perhaps.
Oh, right. And well, full, I mean, it was highly visual, color. And that movie did accomplish the visual very well. I'll give it that.
Yeah, it stuck to its stylistic guns pretty strongly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Caleb, you have our next.
I do, and. This one is actually popular in its own right, and it's something that I'm not sure a lot of people realize is actually a cover. Because this version of the song is so popular. It's it was originally written and recorded by one Bob Dylan. This is...
No, you didn't.
Huh?
No, go ahead.
Oh.
This one is the cover version, which is probably like about two or three times more famous than the original because it's done covered by one Mr. Hendrix, and it's pretty awesome. just on that merit alone. Here we go.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth. Hey. No reason to get excited.
Alrighty, so that again was the Jimi Hendrix cover of All Along the Watchtower, which was originally written and recorded by Bob Dylan. So that's one of those, is like, that version is so famous that it's sometimes I almost forgot that was a cover of someone else until I looked it up again. I'm like, oh yeah, that one is a cover.
Are you a big Dylan fan in general? Or
I do enjoy Bob Dylan quite a bit, just in his own right. But then somehow that connection just did not cross for quite a while, or it had been lost into the ephemera of my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a unique sound. It doesn't jive with a lot of people, including me, unfortunately. But yeah, actually, oddly enough, this is a Dylan cover also.
What?
I know. Crazy, right? But this one's nowhere near as well known, I don't think. Although it is by a really well-known band. It's the White Stripes doing cover of One More Cup of Coffee. Just another favorite of mine. I end up listening to like a ton of White Stripes while I'm actually doing work and doing any sort of Pandora or iHeartRadio. I end up listening to a White Stripes album for hours. So
understandable.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Solid band.
Mm-hmm.
although, you know, I do wonder what Jack White, you know, now that he's not doing that band anymore. Like, what is he going to do? How's he going to find his time? Like,
hopefully he does something someday.
Yeah.
All that talent just sitting fallow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to wrap us up with our last one. Now I'll just play a snippet of the original just so everyone. Okay. I'm sure everyone is familiar with this. It's definitely one of my favorite openings of a song.
Right.
It gets me pumped, gets me excited. So I'm going to play a cover of Danzig's Mother by Lizzy. And like the other one, it starts off very differently. So here we go.
All right. Huh.
Tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother, can you keep them in the dark for life? Can you hide them from the waiting world? Oh, gonna show her my world, Father. I'm not about to see your light, but if you wanna find hell with me, I can show you what is high. Till you're bleeding, I'm not about your life, but if you wanna find hell with me, I can show you what is. Mother, tell your children not to hold my hand. Tell your children not to understand. Oh, but if you wanna find hell with me, I'm gonna show you what it's like. Till you're bleeding, I'm not about to see your life. But if you wanna find hell with me, I'm gonna show you what it's like.
All right, there you had it. Cover of Danzig's Mother. And that's going to do it for the Robots Attack show. We'll be back next week, Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. The pre-funk show is coming up next.
Woohoo!
Stick around for some great music. They were gracious enough to let us take a little bit of their time,
mm-hmm.
but they are coming up next. So stick around for that, and have a great weekend, everybody.
Indeed.
Take it easy.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.